Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey there, how are you? Wednesday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070. WKOK, Sean Carey here. Steve will be there in just a few in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in touch with us. Through social media, you can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. Like us on Facebook. And, of course, we've got stevejonesshow.com. 3 months of shows archived there, and we invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. Very important information, audio source for all the Penn State fans as we're now heading into Penn State Pitt.
I believe local authorities use that to use the Steve Jones Show podcast to get people to confess. We're going to keep playing this.
Different vetting process, okay?
until you give up the info. Stop it! Stop!
The Inquisition! iTunes, Google Play, we're there. Search Steve Jones Show. And thanks ahead of time for doing that.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, we have Bob Flounders on.
Bobby Flo, 435, yes.
Adam Bittner today. Tomorrow, Rich Scarsella, High School Roundtable. Now, do we have the lineup for the High School Roundtable set?
We sure do. Of course, we'll have our power trio, Suit, Zach Showers, Greg Wetzel in studio.
The guy we had for Shikalimi last week, though, was actually really good.
Okay. I haven't heard anything different. If there's any big meeting going on at this time tomorrow afternoon, that will put him in a different direction.
The meeting he had last week was with himself.
Well, no, three people, me, myself, and I. But Shikalimi gets Loyal Sock Friday night.
And then he got into an argument.
That got really interesting there.
And it got heated.
Yeah. Pretty intense.
I was told it got really personal. I said, well, you know, he's talking to himself, right? I said, I hate you. No, I hate you.
First take after first take.
See, that's what I mean. I enjoy when he's on the high school football segment. Because I'll ask him, can you preview the game? Then I'll go up, I'll make a sandwich, get a drink, come back, and just about with about a minute to go in the answer, I'm pretty much done with lunch.
See, if I were to do that during this show, that'd be the one time where you'd call my name out and you'd be like, okay, where is he? Where'd he go? But after that, you would show deep concern because that, you know, very rarely that would happen. That I'm not there ready to go to reply back.
Well, I know that. But so they've got Loyal Sock.
Yep.
Okay, Sealands Grove has
Southern Columbia.
Ooh.
At Southern.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah. 60 plus regular season winning streak.
Why is Southern Columbia? I mean, I could see if it were a Catholic school, you know, a non-public school, where essentially, look, no matter, you know, essentially you can recruit. Okay, let's be fair about it. Okay, you can really get anybody you want. Doesn't really matter about your district, correct? But these guys are good every single year.
It's amazing.
And they change personnel like everybody else does. Now, they don't have 10-year veterans. You know, hey, here's Henry Hynoski in his 12th year. And it's like, no, it's not the way it is. It really is an amazing story why they're good every year. It's like when Curry was at Berwick, they were good almost every year there when George was there.
Yeah.
You ever talk to George?
This is on me. It's really weird you bring that up because I almost had a brush with George Curry in Pittsburgh. I'm trying to remember the year, but we were in Pittsburgh for a Steelers game. And it could have been the first year Heinz Field was open, 2001. So it could have been that far back. Okay. And we were over in Station Square, and we got dinner at Houlihan's or something like that the night before. Mm-hmm. And we were strolling around in Station Square doing some shopping. And I turned the corner, and there was George Curry. He was in town. Okay. And yeah, it was really cool. I didn't want to bother him. I didn't go up to him and say hi, but I knew just with what, not even a half a second, I looked and I was like, yeah, that's Coach Curry.
Oh, I've had some long talks with George over the years because he'd come show up at a Penn State football practice and he and I would chat for half hour here, half hour there. I liked him.
Pure football guy.
Oh, yeah, absolute football guy.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
But it's like talking to him. He just was a good guy to talk to. So, yeah. But amazing. Year after year after year at Berwick, he was good, good, good all the time. I mean, you know, recognized nationally year in and year out. It's amazing how some places are able to do it. Because I've always felt that was one of the areas where in high school football, you're at the mercy of what your town produces. I mean, that's, you're at the mercy of okay, we're out of athletes.
Yeah, that Tigers train just keeps going and going. We hear a lot about Stone, Hollenbach, the quarterback, Julian Fleming, the wideout, and they got a great running game with Gage Garcia. Well, guess who's now a member of the family tree that's moving on up? Gage Garcia's younger brother. He is already getting some playing time.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Fox News did a report on Brett Baer's show last night, and it was actually two nights. It was on Monday night about declining numbers in high school football. Now I think there are declining numbers in high school football for a couple reasons. One of them is consolidation of school districts. I mean, consolidation of school districts will knock down the number of teams that are playing for obvious reasons. But I also think something that really is not discussed a lot is that there are exponentially more options today for young people. I mean, soccer is a big deal. Cross country, lacrosse. You know, a lot of young people specializing in one sport, which, as you know, I don't believe in. I think you should play as many sports as you want, and I think you should enjoy as many as you can. And if it turns out there's one that you're terrific at, guess what? The fact that you're playing any other sport that you're playing probably is probably a good way to keep you fresh.
Yeah, I've told you about my nephew who's going to be 10 in October. He's been playing baseball since he was 4. He's now contemplating trying out soccer, giving that
good
a shot.
For him.
Yeah.
Oh, good for him. And, you know, and he may find he loves baseball more because he's played soccer. You know, it might keep him fresh in terms of always just doing baseball all the time.
Although he may not realize all that there's a lot of running you do in soccer. I think he maybe just thought they just stood around and would kick it toward the goal. And it's like, no, a little more than that. So
I always refer to that as guppy ball. Hey, look, the ball, all the guppies run toward the ball. It's like, no, it's not going to work. It's not how they play it.
So they say you may get a little more of a workout and burn some extra calories than you do playing baseball.
Yeah. But they were talking about the participation numbers. And, you know, I mean, let's take, for example, one in our area. Didn't Milton get down into the low 20s at one point?
Very close to that, yes.
Yeah, like 22, 23 guys.
And even a couple of years ago when Danville went on that great run, I mean, their numbers were in the 20s as well.
Yeah.
Williamsport, a 6A school. The number I heard, they're right around 36. They're close to 35, 36.
Let's see, State College has high participation numbers. State College has very high participation numbers. But it's not like that everywhere. And, geez, I don't, you know. Look, I've felt that with several different issues, you feel like the sport of football gets more positive attention and more negative attention than any other sport. It gets both. It gets positive and negative attention. Positive because people love football. Negative because of items such as injuries, concussions, PTSD. It's like I've mentioned many times with Aaron Hernandez. Now, the NFL is financially the big kahuna, so if there were to be a lawsuit filed by the family anywhere, the lawsuit probably would not be toward Bristol Central High School and School District in Connecticut. It would not be at the University of Florida. It probably would be the NFL because they have the money. Okay? But nobody can tell you when Aaron Hernandez started developing PTSD. Nobody knows what level. For all we know, he was on the road to it in high school in Connecticut. For all we know, he was on the road to it at Florida. Nobody knows. Yeah, or the NFL. I mean, everything's relative in terms of the velocity of a hit and the development of a person's body. It's relative. So you don't know where along the way that it could potentially have started it or happened. But these are the things we talk about with the NFL today and with football. So I do get concerned about numbers going down because, I mean, when I was growing up, it was a big deal to play high school football. Big deal.
Yeah, that was the big story last year with Bucktail, the smallest Class A team in Pennsylvania out in Renova, western portion of Clinton County. They were flirting around 15, 16 kids last year, and they did enough where they were able to get into a playoff game. It's just an incredible story what they were able to achieve last year.
Yeah, I mean, but boy, you'd like to see those numbers between 40 and 50 if it's possible. But, I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, young people and families have to make their own choices as to what they think is best for themselves or their child. And I'm not going to dispute those choices, not in the least. Not in the least. I mean, because, again, those choices are personal. Now, idealistically, I'd love to see the numbers be there because I think it's a great sport. I mean, great sport. You really do need everybody working together to make it work. There's so many positives to me that come out of it. I mean, it's just me. I mean, others, you know, may have a different opinion, and I would never dispute somebody else's if they have a different opinion when it comes to something like this. You know, we might feel differently about it. Doesn't mean I don't respect your opinion if you're concerned about injuries, you're concerned about concussion. I got that. I understand that completely. Yeah, obviously, I was very fortunate. I got through it. I've got two pinky fingers that are, one's bent slightly to the right and one is crooked at the top. That's about, for me, that's how I came out. I didn't, you know. Now, you may dispute vigorously after listening to the show for 7 years about me not suffering a concussion, but I didn't when I was in high school playing high school football. I did not suffer a concussion, despite you listening to the show and having a different opinion.
Or what Kevin says.
Yeah, Kevin makes me more real to everybody, I think. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
News Radio 1070 WKOK. We are Penn State.
Their corner throws for Sutton, knocked away, intercepted! Amani Oyelowere and the Nittany Lions win it!
Saturday night, the Nittany Lions play at Pitt at Heinz Field. The tailgate show starts at 6:30 and kickoff is at 8.
Nittany Lions football on News Radio 1070 WKOK is sponsored in part by Register Chevrolet and First National Insurance.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Penn State and Pitt coming up. My stance on the Pitt thing has always been this, and it's always been very simple. I've always looked at it in the big picture context of Penn State football. And here's where I've come down. If there were 8 conference games for Penn State, if they had 8, I would be all for taking a spot and carving it out for Pitt, as long as you had the flexibility to take the second another availability and move some games around the country, like Virginia Tech, Auburn, that are coming up for Penn State, even West Virginia, which is coming up. I'm all for that. But with 9 conference games, you lose all your flexibility. See, Pitt is in the ACC, and obviously the ACC and the SEC are both 8 conference games. So they have 4 openings. You notice last year, after Pitt played Penn State, they played Oklahoma State. They've done that in each of the last 2 years because they've had that flexibility to do that. And I respect the fact that Pitt did that. But Penn State's got the 9 conference games. And you're saying, well, they still have that one spot, which is very, very true. Except, do you want to be locked into that game every single year? Because I feel like Penn State's in a position with its recruiting and what it's done where they're now in that conversation all the time as to whether they've got a shot at the college football playoff. And I always go back to Iowa. Iowa under Kirk Ferentz has had some really good years. But they're never in the conversation for everything. And I think part of it is they're locked into that game with Iowa State every year. And that, while in-state, that's a big deal. Nationally, everybody goes, who cares? You never notice Iowa never plays USC. They never play Texas. They never play Alabama. They never play Washington. They never play Auburn. They never play Virginia Tech. Iowa doesn't go out and play anybody because they are forced to play that game with Iowa State every year. And I think that takes away something. And of course, the cause is the 9th conference game. That's the cause. I mean, I want to see Penn State play Auburn. I want to see them play Virginia Tech. I want to see them go out and maybe schedule Texas or somebody else. You know, I've enjoyed doing Penn State-Notre Dame games. I've enjoyed doing Penn State-Alabama games. Didn't work out when they played Alabama, but I enjoyed the fact they did it. I feel like Penn State's a national program. That doesn't mean Pitt can't win on Saturday night. Of course they can. But I feel like Penn State is not a regional program. It's a national program. At least that's my opinion of it. Maybe you have a different opinion. Adam Bittner coming up.
Hear every moment of the Penn State football season, no matter where you are. Listen to WKOK.com and the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app to stream every Penn State football game. Presented by W&L Subaru. Hear the tailgate show, the game, and the postgame show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, and now available at WKOK.com and the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app. Presented by W&L Subaru in Northumberland. Putting families in safe, reliable vehicles since 1972. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. Adam Bittner in a few moments. We'll talk about Penn State and Pitt. Going down to Pittsburgh to talk with him. Time now for this date in sports history. On this date in sports history, 2016, Mike Ferlazzo blows people away with a Shikellamy broadcast they say is the best they've ever heard. That's not on here. It's actually on what you sent me, isn't it?
Ironically enough, he just turned the corner and came in the studio. Not for Lazo, but...
Oh, and how's he doing?
He's doing great. You know, it's 3:35 tomorrow. 3:35 tomorrow for the roundtable, not today. Oh, he said...
Oh, I tell you right now, I felt like I was going from Saturday softball to, you know, watching a heavyweight baseball game with 98-mile-per-hour fastballs. It was really good. I'll say this, as I said earlier, and people know I'm not afraid to tell the suit exactly, you know, straightforward. Nothing's behind his back. I mean, the bottom line is this. I ask you to preview the game. I get up, make a sandwich, get a beverage, bring it back down. Usually about two sentences to go, you know, I'm back, settled back in again.
In plenty of time, yes.
He walked away.
No, he's still
shaking.
Here.
Oh,
yeah,
he is?
Shaking his head, yeah.
The long trip shaking that head. All right, so let's get to this day in sports history. Babe Ruth hit his first professional home run in the International League. And then in 1918, he threw a six-hitter in the opening game of the World Series for the Red Sox. For 39 years. Let's see if the suit knows this. What records did Babe Ruth hold for 39 years? Let's see if the suit knows this.
Go ahead and repeat that one more time.
Okay. What records did Babe Ruth hold for 39 years? And dead air is not the way to go in radio.
No, you got that right. We will say most strikeouts.
See, that's the difference. I work with such negative people. All right. Okay. Okay. He, for 39 years, Babe Ruth was the record holder for the most World Series home runs with 15, and also the record holder for most consecutive World Series innings pitched without giving up a run, 29 and two-thirds. He held both records at the same time for 39 years. Oh. Meanwhile, Captain Negative over there, most strikeouts, hit by pitch, thrown out stealing?
He was going to say stealing, ironically enough. So, see, you've known him long enough.
Okay, now, the suit should know I have two Olympic notes here. One good and one bad. The good, Cassius Clay won the gold medal in light heavyweight boxing in Rome in 1960 on this date. But in 1972, Arab guerrillas, Black September, attacked the Israeli delegation at Munich. 11 members of the Israeli Olympic team, 5 guerrillas and a police officer were killed in the siege. Let's see. Chris Everett retired from professional tennis in 1989. Mark McGwire, 60th home run, 1998 to tie Babe Ruth. And the Islanders signed Alexei Yashin to a 10-year, $90 million contract. Note to Steelers and Le'Veon Bell. It didn't work. Is there anything else the suit wishes to add before we move on?
He says bye-bye, Bell.
Okay, who's Bell?
Le'Veon.
Oh. Look, okay, here's the bottom line, very quickly. I'm going to guess that the two of you are not enamored with the money part. Would that be correct?
Oh, yeah. $17 million a year he thinks he should get, or something close to Todd Gurley money? Nah, no.
Right. And the suit would concur with that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The average person cannot possibly relate to the numbers pro athletes get. You can't relate to $30 million for Aaron Rodgers. You can't relate to Todd Gurley's contract. You can't relate to the fact that at minimum this year, Le'Veon Bell's going to make $14.5 million. But our jobs and the pay scale that we have, whether it be in radio or construction or working for a school district, the pay scale is different because the National Football League is a $14 to $15 billion industry. Thus, their pay scale is going to be exponentially different than ours. Now, on a relative scale, as a receiver and as a runner, I believe Bell has had 739 touches total the last 2 years. You know, and he had, 85 catches last year, to go with the fact that he had 300 touches as a running back. That's a lot. That's also a lot of offense that you've built around one guy. So he's looking at it and saying he sees what Antonio Brown gets, he sees what Ty Gurley gets, and he's saying, look, I've got to be one of those guys that's paid like that because I do both. That's what he's thinking. So that's his side of it. He also has absorbed a lot of punishment over his 5 years. He feels this is the time for him to cash in. So there's his side of it. Now let's go to the Steelers side of it. The Steelers side of it's a little bit different. Right? This is not a case of the Pittsburgh Steelers being cheap. That's not it. Not to me it is. I don't think in any way, shape, or form this is the Steelers being cheap about this. We don't want to pay somebody. To me, they've got to make a very, very difficult call on Le'Veon Bell. And the difficult call is this. If we give him the money, does he have the shelf life to make it to the end of the contract? Baseball's been the perfect one. Robinson Cano, 10-year contract. Okay. What are the results? Albert Pujols, 10-year contract. How many times has, as a player, injuries have had him break down the older he's gotten? Same thing with this. The Steelers had to make the tough call, like, okay, we can give you $17 million per year, but are we going to get $17 million per year in return? Or 2 years into this thing, because of usage and the fact that you are a little bit older, are you going to start, quote, breaking down? It's a hard call because you're guessing. Now the next part, what kind of leverage does Le'Veon Bell have? Who in the NFL would give him that money if he were a free agent? Who? Because of the position he plays, I'm not so sure he'd have as many takers out there as he realizes.
Well, yeah, you talk about the number of touches the last 2 years. I mean, that's the thing with Bell and his agent. They just don't want the Steelers to grind him into the ground this season.
Well, if he shows up at week 10, they won't do that, which is a distinct possibility, by the way. He could show up in week 10. All right. Let's bring in Adam Bittner now from Pittsburgh. Adam, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Great to talk to you, Steve. How are you?
Good. When you watched the game Saturday, what were some notes that you made mentally in observing?
You know, I think the things that stuck out to me, were kind of the breakdowns that you saw, especially on the defensive end. I think there were some mistakes, but Juwan Johnson's drops kind of stick out on offense. But at the end of the day, they scored 45 points. But to me, I think James Franklin's halftime interview was pretty much on point. Is that you had a lot of plays where almost everyone was doing everything right, but one or two guys may not have been, and it made a huge difference in the game and some of the big plays that Appalachian State was able to capitalize on.
What was your feeling in the performance of Miles Sanders?
I thought he looked great, especially when it seemed there were his performance, or at least the carries he got, was a little bit uneven sometimes. I think his performance looked like that at times, but when he was able to get, into a groove, I think, especially in that overtime session, I think you saw what he was capable of.
Was it possible that maybe on a day like that he was fresh for the overtime session because he was used? I'm just throwing that out there as a possibility, because there's going to be some games he's going to have to carry the ball 25, 30 times, but is it possible he may have been fresh for overtime?
I wouldn't necessarily interpret that as a criticism. I think, with all the talent they have in that backfield, all the different looks they want to be able to give defenses, that's something that he's going to have to adapt to, as much as maybe the play callers are going to have to be mindful of that. It's just something that you're going to have to work out. But I did notice that it was especially those moments where he got to get into a groove that really looked great.
Right, no question, he did. Adam, you're younger. A lot of people I work around are younger. What does this series mean to you, if anything?
The Pitt series?
Yep.
I think as I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, I grew up with it in the classroom, even when it wasn't going on, in the 2000s and the early 2010s. That was something that was always present in my life, was that rivalry, was that trash talk between the two sides. I think it runs pretty deep in Western Pennsylvania still, regardless of whether the teams are playing or not. I think Penn State's also changing a lot. I think, you have, it's not just a Pennsylvania school anymore. It really is a regional school. There are students and alumni from so many different areas of the Northeast now that, I can understand how it's seen differently in a lot of the Penn State fan base. But to me, and I think to a lot of my readers and people I grew up around in Western Pennsylvania, this series still matters, and it's still a big deal when these teams meet on Saturday.
What do they tell you? I mean, in fact, let me put it this way. What do the Pitt fans tell you among your readers? What do the Penn State fans tell you among your readers?
The Penn State opinions will kind of run the gamut. I get a lot of Penn State people who say, hey, I know a lot of Penn State fans don't care about this as much, but, I love to tailgate with my family at these games. I love to, get in the back and forth with the guys at the office. I like the feeling of, seeing Penn State win in Pittsburgh, and I think the Pitt fans are pretty much, in a similar boat. Especially now that they're in the ACC and they don't have West Virginia. They don't really have any natural rivals in that conference anymore. I think they feel the loss of the Penn State series a lot. And, I think also to them, the attitude bothers them a lot too. It's not so much that Penn State doesn't want to play this series every year. I think you can make a sound argument to a Pitt fan and say, hey, these are the reasons Penn State doesn't want to keep this series going. But I think while this series is going on, they wish that the Penn State side would get a little more into it and reciprocate that rivalry the way it was in the glory days.
Yeah, obviously the glory days were 74 to really 85 in the series. I mean, those were the glory days of it. I lived it. saw it firsthand. So what do you think of this Pitt team this year?
I didn't really get a chance to watch the Albany game on Saturday, so it's tough to make heads or tails of them yet. I think they lost a lot of playmakers like Jordan Whitehead on that defense, and they're very optimistic about some of these young guys that have been recruited to play in Narduzzi's system, which really relies on leaving a lot of those guys in the secondary on islands so that the front seven can wreak a little havoc. We saw that at Michigan State, and he just really hasn't had the personnel to run that to this point. I think it'll be interesting to see, can these guys that are rather unheralded, or if, in the case of, a Paris Ford, a prominent Whippeal recruit, who we just haven't gotten to see play, can they step into these roles and make this defense closer to what Pat Narduzzi probably would like to run?
How is Pat Narduzzi perceived in Pittsburgh now in his fourth year?
I think it's funny how much that Miami game really affected things. I think especially after they lost to North Carolina at home last year, there was a lot of angst about him. Then a couple weeks later, he goes out and beats Miami, and a lot of that has kind of fallen by the wayside. I think there's an understanding that, you know, something Pitt has lacked is consistency in the head coaching position, and that that has taken its toll on the program as much as anything, and that it's going to take time to build back to that point. So I think there's, you know, I think that Miami win bought him the patience that he needs from the fan base and from the donor class.
Tell us a little bit about what you know about Kenny Pickett and the kind of player he is.
Well, you know, I think the fact is that we really don't know a whole lot. He managed the game well in that Miami game, but we haven't seen a whole lot of him on the field. I do know he had a great camp. For a while there, he had not thrown any interceptions. And he's a young player. I've heard comparisons to, you know, Trace McSorley in some ways. I don't know if I've seen that or observed that personally, but, I think the attitude and the winning mentality is something that a lot of people have brought up. So I'm interested to see how that plays out on Saturday.
Now let's turn it the other way. I asked you about how Pat Narduzzi is perceived down there in Pittsburgh. How is James Franklin perceived?
I think he is. It depends upon who you ask. Obviously, I think most Penn State fans would perceive him as most any other Penn State fans would anywhere else. I don't think Pitt fans like him. I don't think some of his comments have been taken the wrong way. And I know he addressed that yesterday at his news conference, specifically the comparison to Akron. I think if you're a Penn State fan and you follow this program every week and you hear his, you know, the next game is the biggest game mantra, then yeah, you can see that consistency. But I think, you know, it still sticks in people's craw that he made that specific comparison, I think, to Akron as opposed to a program a Pitt fan might see as something closer to a peer.
Then I'll follow it up. We'll keep it in order. What about Trace McSorley and your thoughts?
I think there's a lot of respect for him. I think people see him as a winner. He's pretty straight-laced. He hasn't, other than, you know, beating Pitt last year, hasn't given people a lot of reason to have a whole lot of antipathy for him. So I think there's a lot of respect for Trace McSorley in Pittsburgh.
All right, so what do you think about Saturday? Everybody's going to get a chance to tailgate for 12 minutes from 6:06 to 6:18 is the designated tailgating time. considering do you even think there's going to be 10,000 of the Pirates game? I mean, seriously.
Well, I think it's actually, and I brought this up on Twitter the other day, it's Felipe Vasquez bobblehead day, or it was supposed to be Felipe Vasquez bobblehead night. So I do think it's possible that even though most people have tuned out the Pirates at this point, that they have sold a lot of tickets and that they can't bank on those people not showing up. So I kind of understand the argument there.
Yeah, but what are you
going to
do? How are you going to handle your 12 minutes of tailgating? That's all you're allowed.
Nah, I don't know. I frankly, I'm probably going to try to be somewhere off campus.
These are
a lot of those lots aren't governed by those rules.
Adam,
you kind of got to know where to go.
These are tough decisions, man. People are looking for guidance. How do you handle your dozen minutes?
I got a couple lots that I'm going to be. I got scoped out, so I think I'll be okay.
Dude, listen to the veteran here. Listen to him. He knows what he's doing. He's got it under control. Just some quick thoughts on what you think could possibly happen.
I like Penn State as a pretty comfortable favorite. I don't think it's going to be the blowout that I think a lot of people are hoping for. It's going to be a difficult environment for Penn State to play in. I think you can be optimistic about this offense and these playmakers that we saw, you know, do big things on Saturday. But, you know, there's still some things that they're going to have to iron out, and this is their first real test. So, I think it'll be I don't want to say necessarily shootout, but a dogfight. I think Penn State's going to win, but I think it's going to be closer than a lot of people are hoping or maybe thinking it will be.
Adam, complete pleasure. Thanks so much. It's great to hear you again.
Absolutely. Great to talk to you, too, Steve.
All right. Boy, the email traffic has been... Okay. Something here. Some of the requests. Let's see. Two questions. This is from Tim. Tim, greatly enjoy your show on the WKOK app and or podcast on iTunes. Sean carries you. What does that mean? Two questions.
Thank you, Tim.
Oh, this is from someone named Deb. No. So Tim writes, greatly enjoy the show. I appreciate that very much, Tim. Regarding the future of the Temple Road game, why isn't anybody asking the most relevant question? How much money is Penn State getting to play there? That might be one, Tim, where there's a transportation number in there for both Penn State and Temple. When Temple comes here and Penn State goes there, and that the home team gets to keep the gate. Okay, so that might. I'm not sure of that, but sometimes you get into some of those games, and that sometimes is the arrangement, believe it or not. Also, with some Penn State football coaches having assistant or associate in their title, what does that mean? Could you go through a list of coaches and tell us what their responsibilities are beyond the position they coach? All right, assistant and associate, okay? Associate's a way of getting the coach more money. It's a designation. So if you see associate head coach, blah, 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 whatever it is, versus assistant coach, the associate coach on the pay scale, because of the title, gets more money. So that's a way to get a coach more money. Okay? Other responsibilities, let's see. You know, a lot of these have additional responsibilities on special teams. You know, like Matt Linegrover working with the field goal unit, like Tyler Bowen working with the kickoff coverage unit and the kickoff return unit. So, I mean, that's what you have guys that are working on stuff like that. That's where the special teams part comes into it. You know, Jaywan Sider working with the kickoff return guys, Donnie Corley working with some of the kickoff coverage guys, same, you know. So you have guys working on special teams beyond their specific position. So I hope that answered your questions, Tim. But again, the bottom line is when it comes to associate and assistant, okay, the title is a designation that opens the door for more money. Okay, that's what it's opened up for. Like, you know, I named Sean associate co-host. More money. Sean? Huh? We'll come back, second hour of the show, including Bob Flounders here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.